How's everybody doing? It's another Sunday, so you know what that means. We got another Sunday story for you all. We're really excited to bring this kid on. Andy and I are both West Virginia University alums, so we're really excited to bring on a guy who was there for 4 years and went on to play pro in Lithuania, Chase Harler. He was a four-year West Virginia University player. And had a pretty solid career there, and we get into a little bit of that, his times with Bob Huggins and some stories about him and Javon Carter in practice, a little bit of talk about the basketball tournament, the TBT, which is coming up. It's Sunday the 11th, so the TBT is on Friday the 16th it kicks off. Chase is actually down at Wheeling Park, the high school down there. This weekend with the rest of the Best Virginia team, putting on a little exhibition to get warmed up for the TBT next week. So hopefully they're having a little fun over there. I guess they got a kids camp Sunday, and they had the exhibition on Saturday this weekend. So best wishes to the Best Virginia squad over there. We're hoping they had a good time. But yeah, Chase was nice enough to lend us some time and some stories. So I hope you guys enjoy that. Game three of the finals is tonight. Andy and I kind of were riffing before game two about Giannis missing free throws and Pat Connaughton playing the vast majority of the minutes. So I'm thinking both of those are probably going to shift for game three, and that'll be one of the tilters in this third game here in Milwaukee. I don't think you're going to have the home crowd not counting down on Giannis on his free throws, so that'll be useful. He might actually hit more than 55% of them. And I got a feeling Bud's got to mix it up at this point with the bench. Playing Pat Connaughton 30 minutes and everybody else 10 or less hasn't really worked first couple of games. It's kind of a result of just not enough bodies. The Bucks have a couple of injuries on the bench, most notably Dante DiVincenzo out for the rest of the season. That's really kind of been glaring so far in the finals. Kind of not to always bring it back to the Celtics, but it kind of feels like watching our C squad we've had the last year or so with the rough bench depth situation at times. But yeah, you guys didn't turn in here to hear me ramble, so let me kick it over to Wheeling's finest, Chase Harler.
All right, our guest today is Chase Harler, a Wheeling Central High School legend, two-time Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of West Virginia, where he also won a state title. He went on to West Virginia University, where he had a solid four-year career, earning academic All-Big 12 team honors all 4 years. And now he's a pro in Lithuania. And it was just his birthday a couple weeks ago, so happy belated birthday, man. How you doing today, Chase?
Thank you.
What was it like at Wheeling High, kind of running the show there and taking over the state of West Virginia for a few years there before going on to WV?
I'm from Moundsville, West Virginia, which is about 20 minutes from Wheeling. So I went to middle school in Moundsville, and I was going into my seventh grade year, and we weren't going to have enough kids to be on the basketball team. So obviously, like, I love playing basketball. And I mean, 2 years later, the school ended up shutting down just because of enrollment issues. But so I went to a school in Wheeling, and, from Moundsville, like I said, I went to a school in Wheeling. It was a feeder school into Wheeling Central. So there's three main high schools in Wheeling: Lindsley, Wheeling Park, Wheeling Central. And obviously, I was looking at all of those. But at the end of the day, all my best friends were going to Wheeling Central. So I wanted to go to Wheeling Central. And going into it, my eighth grade year, they weren't very good. I think they won like five or six games. So obviously, looking at that, as an opportunity to play. So I just remember talking to my dad, when I thought I was going to Central, whatever, basketball starting, maybe the tryout period or whatever it is. And our goal was for me to be on JV and get some varsity minutes. That was our goal. And nice. I remember they give you your bag or something, however that works. And I was on varsity strictly, no JV. A lot of credit, because my freshman year, I had more turnovers and assists. So they let me play through a lot of mistakes. And honestly, without that early experience and just getting to play, 30 minutes a game as a freshman or whatever it was, playing through five or six turnover games, it definitely helped me throughout my career, because I just had so much confidence after my freshman year. But So a lot of credit to the coaching staff. But yeah, I think a testament to myself too. I mean, I got better every year. Dallas preached on me was getting the senior year each year increased. That ever put me in some good positions to succeed. But I mean, truthfully, a lot of it had to do. I still worked extremely hard, but I can just remember in high school, you know, getting up before high school, working out multiple times a day. Really, really wanted to, you know, succeed at that level and then, you know, move on to West Virginia.
Awesome, man. Yeah, no, because I remember when I was coaching at Trinity Catholic, we had played y'all, and that was when I had first seen you play. It was like, I want to say your sophomore year. You know, so when you talk about that, you know, kind of going through it your freshman year and turnovers and kind of battling a little bit, you could definitely tell that leap that you made that sophomore year and then obviously into the junior year too. So it's pretty cool to hear that story, you know, because I kind of saw that development. Like, what about like that state championship run? What was that kind of like?
Well, so my freshman year, we weren't great. I think we finished like 14 and 15, but because in West Virginia, it's weird how you can make it down state. Like you can, there's pretty much three games to get down state. The first one you have to win, which is the sectionals, semifinals. You can lose the sectional finals game, then you have to win your regional game to go down state. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we won the sectional semifinals, the game you have to win my freshman year. I mean, we had ups and downs. We go on like 3-game, 4-game winning streaks, and then we'd lose like 7 in a row. Like we've started the season like 1-8, I think. So we, like I said, we won the sectional semis, then we lost to Magnolia in the sectional finals. And that was the third time we played them that year. And each game, almost every game they beat us by 15, 20 plus, right? So whatever. Then we went regional finals. We went to St. Mary's. And they were really, really good, upset them. So we made it down state as a 7th seed. So we were matched up. Oh, I'm sorry. This is my freshman year. We're going to go to my freshman year real quick. So this is cool because this kind of builds up into the state championship. But so we matched up with Magnolia again down state my freshman year. 7 seed versus a 2 seed. Even though they're the 2 seed, they're still pretty much favored to win it. Upset them down state by like 25.
Wow. Okay.
So my freshman year, we made it to the semifinals. And we brought we graduated a decent amount, like 3 or 4 seniors. But the guys coming back was a good a core group. Myself and David Park, two like first team All State guys, whatever. Came back my sophomore year, and I think we finished like 25-3. Almost lost first round in the states my sophomore year. Almost lost first round. Killed Clay Battelle in the second round. And then had a battle versus Charleston Catholic, which I believe it went to overtime. And that was a surreal moment. I was sick during that game too. We had a couple guys that were like actual sick. Like I had the flu. Like that game was on Saturday. I didn't go back to school until like Wednesday because I had like the flu.
Oh wow.
So it was like, hey, it's like MJ. I had the flu game, right?
Okay. Just about to say that.
That's great.
Okay. I like that, man. Well, yeah, nah, that's dope. You know, that's great to hear. Cause I'm like, man, I was trying to figure out, cause like remembering all these teams like Clay Battelle here and all these names brings back memories. But yeah, no, I definitely remember Magnolia being a good team. So that's,
yeah,
I like that run, man. That's dope.
For sure. For sure.
Was it junior year or senior year that you won the state title?
That was 14. It was my sophomore year. And then my junior year, we lost to Magnolia. And then my senior year, we lost to Huntington St. Joe's. So I don't have a great state championship record. One win, two losses.
Hey, at least you got there 3 times, though.
Yeah.
The Tom Brady high school basketball at Wheeling.
Yeah.
That's great. So how was like that first experience? Like, did Bobby Huggins give you a call? Did you get a call from the Huggy Bear? Or like, how did that recruitment go with West Virginia? Or were you kind of like, you know, local kid already had your eyes set on it and we're just working towards it the whole time kind of thing?
Yeah, so I think it was probably like 7th or 8th grade. I started taking basketball way more serious, meaning like I would work out more. You know what I mean? And I had goals and I had like a notebook. I always tell the story. I had a notebook. I'd write down my workouts, what I was going to do every day, when I was going to do it, you know, how many shots I was going to make every day, all this stuff. And that's when I knew I wanted to go to West Virginia. So like 8th grade, freshman year. My goal was to play at West Virginia, but I mean, not many people from my area, especially at Wheeling Central, go big time Division I. So I knew I had those odds against me. After my sophomore year, that's when like my recruitment process started. It was in, let me think, May maybe of my June of my sophomore year, I got my first offer. It was from Marshall. Marshall was the first school to offer me. This is like once like the schools can start offering, you know, players, I was like, Marshall was my first offer. Then I got James Madison, Elon, and Winthrop. So my recruitment started to, was starting to pick up AAU. I was playing with a good AAU team. I was playing very, very well in AAU. And Bob Huggins reached out to my dad, and this was like, I don't even know, probably like the end of June. And I've seen him at a few of my games, but like nothing crazy. He reached out to my dad and was like, because they had a elite camp at the end of the August, like the beginning of August, like August 1, 2, and 3 or something. And he was like, let's get Chase down here. Let's make him a Mountaineer or something like that. Nice. So my dad was like, okay, that's great. But like in our minds, we're like, what's he going to tell us? Like, is he going to say like, we'd love to have him, but he needs to go to Huntington Prep or he needs to go to somewhere. And I didn't want to transfer. Like I love Wheeling Central. I love being close to my family. I didn't want to transfer. That was my biggest fear going into that meeting was them going to tell me like, because I wanted to go to West Virginia and I probably would have left if I had to. But so I went down to the elite camp, you know, played well, whatever. Went up to Coach Huggins' office afterwards with my family. You know, he was giving me the whole recruiting pitch and everything. And at the end, he was like, we'd like to offer you a scholarship. And I sat there. I didn't say anything. I was just like, I think I was sitting there like just smiling. Yeah. Like probably like 5 or 6 seconds, but it felt like an hour. My mom was like, you want to, because the night before my family and I made the decision that, you know, I'm going to commit on the spot if they offer me.
Yeah.
And this is like, and at this point, like some bigger schools are starting to show a little bit of interest, nothing crazy. Like I'm talking to a couple assistants from like Virginia and NC State. Like I'm taking that next step in my recruitment where instead of getting recruited from mid majors, the high majors are starting to come in. Mm-hmm. And my dad was like, you want that? You want to see how, like, what other schools are going to be interested, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, let's do it. So back to that, my mom was like, you got to say anything? I was like, yeah, like, you verbally commit. Yeah. And I remember Hugs saying something like, hey, you know you can take, like, a day or two or a week. Like, we're not rushing you. Like, I was like, no, I want to do it. Let's do it. I want to commit. Nice. And, you know, I committed after my going into my junior year. I was committed for 2 years, my junior and senior year, and then, you know, get on campus. Some Morgantown.
Nice, dude. That's crazy. Yeah, that's some classic Marshall too. Marshall gets in the door first kind of thing. West Virginia tends to come in late and snap up all their play. I feel like I've heard that a few times with the studs that come out of W for sure. So you got on campus. You got to the big campus of West Virginia. What was that like? Kind of starting to play with the big guys and you know, adjusting to that level and that pace and that size. And also
So it was challenging. Like, well, Central at the time was single A, which now they have 4A's in West Virginia, but it was single A, so it was the smallest division in West Virginia. You know, some teams weren't, I mean, obviously the athleticism was nothing compared to the Big 12 or West Virginia, you know, the teams we're playing against. But I played high level AAU, that definitely helped me, but still, you don't know what to expect. You know, my freshman year, I was timid. I mean, Javon Carter was a junior. Daxter Miles was a junior. It was like Tavon Myers senior year, Tariq Phillips senior year. So, like, I'm going against, like, very, very, very good guards as a freshman. And, I mean, I didn't do horrible. I didn't do great. I kind of was just, like, there my freshman year, to be honest. And I struggled with that because – as you kind of give me my intro, all those accolades I had, it meant nothing going into West Virginia. You know what I mean? Yeah, and I was used to being the man. I was used to controlling the game, and that wasn't my role at West Virginia. And you don't know how to adjust to that or react to that until you're actually in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I struggled with my confidence my first 2 years. I've openly said I was going to transfer after my sophomore year. Like, I went into Huggs' office, and I was like, Huggs, I'm leaving. And yeah. We had a great conversation. He didn't promise me anything. He didn't say, well, he told me he didn't want me to leave. He thinks I can have a good career there, a great career there, whatever. And I mean, I ended up working out, but you know, he didn't promise me anything. He was just like, I don't want you to leave. You're my type of guy, play hard, you know, make open shots, whatever. So I, after that, you know, I just had a complete different change of mind where, you know, when before when he was yelling at me and getting on me, I took it so personal.
Yeah.
Where now I'm just like, okay, like I'm just gonna listen to what he's saying, not how he's saying it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So once I got through that, that was much better for me.
For sure. Like, and what kind of things did you do like to get used to it? I would say, like, you know, that you could kind of give some advice to players that are kind of dealing with that right now. Maturing in that sense, you know, kind of like letting your guard down a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's, I mean, now that I'm not in it, it's so much easier said than done, obviously. But kind of what I just said, the best advice is listen to what they're saying, not how they're saying it. Absolutely. So, you know what I mean? Like Hugs uses some other vulgar language, but my junior and senior year, I just listened to what he was saying. So like, you know, get on the white line, blah, 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 like going in. And then my freshman and sophomore year, I would take offense to that and think, oh, he doesn't like me. Then my junior and senior year, I was like, in my mind, I was processing it like, just get on the white line, play better defense. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that's just like a maturing thing. But it's tough, man. It's not easy playing for Hugs, and everyone that's played for him will say that. But it's very rewarding at the same time, thinking that, telling yourself and knowing that you got through a – I mean, I'm not saying it was all horrible. It was so much fun, but it was tough. And I feel like I can get through any situation now, honestly. Like, he made me a tougher person.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, Hugs is one of those guys that he's in your corner and, you know, he cares about you. He's yelling at you, but he just wants you to be the best you can be. And he cares about you at the end of the day, kind of thing. So that's always, he's the man with that stuff for sure. I know he can be tough though. We used to sit up there and watch some of the practices and watch him chew people out sometimes. It was fun.
Yeah.
But Javon in practice, I love Javon Carter. He was one of my favorite guards that we had in the last couple decades here. Was that kind of like, you know, were you got any kind of battles with him? Any like a wake up call kind of moment? Cause he's tough defensively. I can't imagine going into practice every day being like, I got to dribble against Javon. On again.
No, yeah, he brought it every day. I mean, luckily he usually guarded the point guard, and I was never a point guard there, so I got away from him. I mean, obviously when he guarded, he did what he had to do. But it's the most cliche thing ever, and everyone says it, but I mean, he's probably the hardest worker I've ever been around. I mean, I can vividly remember, because I used to going into my freshman, he worked hard every year, but I can remember going into my freshman year. So that was going into his junior year. I had to wait till 7 a.m. So, you know, I'd get there about 6:30, 6:40, and I'd walk in the gym and he would be shooting on the machine. And it shows you how many shots you've taken and made. And by, you know, I'm there about 6:30, 6:40, he's already made 400, 500 shots. I'm not joking. And this wasn't just one time, like one time a week. I mean, this was 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah,
like it was. I give him a lot of credit. I mean, he deserves to be in the league. He deserves everything he's gotten because he works at it. Yeah,
man. That's what seems to be the separator, is just the guys that definitely will do the extra, but like you don't have to ask him to do it. Now, nah, like when he was there, did he bring any of his teammates along? Was he that type of leader, or was he like kind of a stake to himself?
No, he I mean, I've worked out with him a few times. Honestly, like, I don't think he had to, like, verbally tell people to get in the gym.
Yeah.
I think in a weird way that he worked so hard, he made you feel bad. So you would almost want, like, you would just go in the gym on your own. Cause you'd be like, okay, I'm gonna go work out. And then, you know, maybe JC's leaving. Like, hey, what's up? Like, how was your workout? I just got like 6,000 makes. I'm like, all right, I might need to stay in here for longer than 30 minutes this time, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think his hard, he was a verbal, like, he was a very, very good leader. Like, when things were like shit was hitting the fan, like, he would get everyone calm and get everyone under control. But like, as far as like working out on your own, I think his work ethic just rubbed off on other people. To be honest,
definitely.
That's big time. I saw you had a 14 point and 18 minute night at one point there. I forget exactly who it was against. What was that like? And were you like, Bobby, come on, leave me in, man. Like, let me get some more shots next game.
I think it was, you said 14 points?
14 in 18 minutes.
Pretty efficient, huh?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's not bad. I was like, maybe we should run some plays for him.
I think that was my sophomore year's Long Beach State, if I remember. I think I had like four threes in the first half or something. Three threes in the first half. Or I don't know. Yeah, I shot the ball well. And then we went down to that was the game right before we went down to Orlando, and we played Marist. And I got in. And the first half, I shot 0 for 4 from 3. You know, I'm thinking I made those three last game. I'm like, oh, this is a wrap. I'm going to start sniping the ball, whatever. I went 0 for 4 first half. I remember I only played like – I think I got like four threes up, honestly, in like 6 minutes. Like, I was throwing them up there. And I didn't play the rest of the first half or something. And then the second half, I hit two huge threes to one to, like, put us up and one to kind of, like, seal the deal versus Marist because, I mean, Marist isn't – like we're supposed to beat Marist by 25, but it was one of those games that we kept them around. They got confidence. They went up by 10 at one point, stuff like that. And I remember Dax threw me like back-to-back threes. I hit two huge back-to-back threes and kind of sealed the deal. And then we went on to beat UCF with Taco Fall.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
And then the championship game, I know you remember this game, was when we were down by like 25 against Missouri. And JC and Dax pretty much like single-handedly brought us back. Yeah. And we won the championship down there, so that was pretty cool.
Man, wow, that brings back memories, man. I'm telling you, crazy hearing these stories. Like, what was that game like? Like, kind of take us a little bit through that Missouri game. What was that one like?
Yeah, that was one of those games. Like I was just talking about Javon earlier. Like, I mean, we're down by 25, and I'd probably say you never think that you're like out of it, but like sometimes you're in the mind, you're like, okay, maybe this might be a wrap. You know what I mean? And JC never had that thought, and that's what I was talking about, how he can motivate, you know, the guys. And I remember being in the huddle and like, we're not losing this game, like saying stuff like that. And he single-handedly, him and Dax pretty much just won us that game, realistically.
And that was 2018?
Yeah, that would have been my sophomore year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Who was on that Missouri team there? I'm blanking on who was the –
Well, Michael Porter Jr. was supposed to be.
Oh, it was MPJC.
But he didn't play. It was his brother. His brother was on the team.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So you had a good long career at West Virginia, and you had some big moments. You had some good contributions. You're a pretty steady Eddie shooter. I've watched some of your highlight tape. I love the jumper. So what kind of got like Lithuania into the mix? Like, were you always thinking that you wanted to go and play overseas?
How it actually worked was I wanted to play overseas. So, I mean, my college numbers weren't anything spectacular. Like, I did like the little things. Like I was kind of like a glue guy, played good defense, made the extra pass, like stuff that doesn't come up on stat sheet. That's kind of how I talk about my career. And you need guys like that, obviously, to win games.
Absolutely.
But I had to kind of, I knew I wanted to play overseas, but I wasn't going to get a chance. I wasn't going to have a very good chance to play overseas if I was only basing that opportunity off my West Virginia stats. So what I did was I went up to, I remember, or I think I was literally about to go ask Coach Martin, and maybe he came to me, because guys do these things called foreign tours where like maybe one or two guys get to go, and like you don't go with the team. You kind of go with like an all-star team. They get a group of college guys or whatever, and you go and play different places. I remember I think JC might have went to Spain one year. Beetle Bolden went to like France or something. So I wanted to do that because I just needed to create an opportunity for myself. Did I know there was going to be like someone over there that was going to give me a job in 2 years? Like, no, but I had to do something to kind of create an opportunity. So anyway, that happened. So Coach Martin came up to me, you know, I wanted to do it, blah, blah, blah. So I went to China after my sophomore year.
Okay.
And I played 6 games in like 13, like 12 days, 13 days or something. It was like an all-star team out of Ohio. And, we went over there. I played really, really well. And there's 4 teams. So we would always play we played in different cities, but we played 6 games by each team twice. There was a Bosnian team. It was like a under 20 Bosnian team. There was a under 18, like the national under 18 Chinese team. And then there was a Lithuanian team. And the Lithuanian team, it was their team was consist, like, it was the all-star team of the league that I played in. So the coach was Lithuanian, whatever. I played really, really well. We stayed in contact. When I graduated, he reached back out and was like, I'd love to have you on my team. I just got hired in Lithuania. And that's kind of how that came full circle.
Okay.
Wow. That's awesome. So was that like a, was that kind of just like a showcase thing, or was that like a tournament?
They're called foreign tour. It's not considered, it's not like a tournament. I mean, a showcase. It's not like four college players that go show. It's literally like an experience kind of thing.
What were the cities that you guys made your stops in?
Couldn't tell you. I'll tell you this though. We played three games in one gym. We played two games in one gym. We played one game in another gym. The first three games we played in the gym. I cannot make this up. It was no joke, probably 85, 90 degrees in there. Oof. And people were smoking cigarettes in the stands.
There was a
7 o'clock game and a 9 o'clock game. We played a 9 o'clock game every time. And it'd just be smoky in there.
That's wild. Hey,
how did you play doing that? Like, how did that work?
I don't know how that worked. We just did it. And people were getting full body cramps. It was wild. It was crazy. People were getting full body cramps on our team, like going to the hospital. I remember after I saw a full body cramp, I probably drank like 9 Gatorades that night. I was like, nope, not happening to me. Not happening to me.
Did you get to did you have any time to kind of like explore and experience kind of the culture over there, or go out to eat or anything like that?
Yeah, it's cool over there, but it's they drive crazy. Like, they don't obey the median line. People drive on both sides of the road, honk the horn. If you get in the, like, you get hit, I think. We had plenty. We had time, and we would play like every other day maybe, and like practice would only be like an hour. Like I said, it was more of an experience thing rather than like taking basketball super serious over there. Mm-hmm. So we practiced for like an hour and then like get to walk around and experience stuff. It was cool.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. So that Lithuania All-Star team, you kind of got a taste of like what your competition would be going forward when that guy eventually called you and the coach eventually called you.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Did you run into, like, when you were playing against them, did you feel like you matched up well? Did you feel like, if this is their All-Star team, I can go play in this league?
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, I played really, really well against them. They beat us, but they went 6-0. They had a really good team, but individually I played well. Honestly, after that, like I knew I wanted to play overseas, but like, I didn't know, like the alumni guys come back a lot in the summer, so they talk about it, but I never knew a ton about it. And then kind of like what you said, like after I played well against those guys, like the All-Star team, pretty much, I was like, it really, really sparked more of an interest. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, that was a cool experience.
That's good. You go over there with a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, I knew the coach before I went over there, kind of, and I knew a player before I went over there.
Nice. So then you go overseas, like you were saying, when we first hopped on here, and is that – so was what was the timing with, like, COVID happening? Was that, like, before you got there? Did it happen while you were over there?
So when I first got there in September, it was there wasn't a ton of restrictions. So, like – maybe like a mask when you go sit down in restaurants, stuff like that. And then by like the middle of November, everything was shut down. Like, everything was takeout. No restaurants were open. You had to wear a mask outside, inside. You couldn't travel city to city. Like, it was crazy.
And what was the club name for Lithuania?
I played it was in the city of Palanga. So we were called Palanga, Kursai. I had a sweet town. I was right on the beach, like the Baltic Sea. Nice. Like,
that's gorgeous.
My first apartment was like pretty much like on the beach. Like, it was like a 4-minute walk from the beach.
That's fantastic.
Real nice.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. So you had a good experience over there. They were a good club too. That's one thing that, like, you know, we got a few friends that played overseas, and you know, it's always curious to hear like the variance of, like, you know, some clubs are super good, super professional, like, you know, hook you up with a nice house and a car or a driver. Some clubs will say they will, and then they don't do shit.
It was a good experience. I had a car, I had an apartment, a couple meals a day.
Nice.
But we played three, like, we were only supposed to play two games a week, but then COVID happened and we missed so many games. It was good for me. Like, we were playing three games a week. Like, we were playing Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday every week for 6 weeks straight, pretty much.
Oh, wow. Stay busy. How did your body hold up? You stay injury free?
Yeah, I was good. I never really had
knock on wood, but any serious injuries. So my body held up fine. It was cool. Like, we'd play, we practiced for like an hour and a half, and we played, and like it was cool. A lot of playing.
Did you so are you technically still on contract with them and just kind of in between seasons, or are you looking around you free agent?
I guess I'm like a free agent, so my agent will start reaching out to the team and trying to figure out where my next adventure is.
Are you looking to do another kind of foreign tour kind of thing in China, or are you looking to play in China?
No, I'd play in China, but I like to stay in like Europe, like Germany, stuff like that. Get another contract over there would be cool.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was reading an article, and I saw that you're kind of working with a friend on a business adventure right now, doing training with youth. Like, can you talk a little bit about that? Are you still doing that?
I still do that to some degree. Last time I didn't know I was going to play until like July. Like I said, I wanted to play. I didn't know I was going to get an opportunity to play until July. So, I mean, that was what I was going to do. So I was putting in like 6 to 8 hours a day of workouts for, different, players and stuff. Where this summer, it's not as hectic for me, just because I work out. I need to work out because I need to prepare for the season, prepare my body. So it's not as hectic, but, I still do the basketball training. I'm trying to get in some different avenues. Like, did a couple. I helped Big Shots run a couple AAU tournaments, and I have some other camps coming to Wheeling as well.
Okay, real cool.
Nice. So that's the game plan for the summer. Kind of just work out, work with camps, get your groove right, and wait for the next contract.
Yep. I'm always busy, man. I'm always doing something.
Hell yeah! No, that's great. So we got a few minutes left here. You can see the countdown going. But what is there anything like that you wanna kind of plug or you wanna get to?
Yeah. So right now we're having like the TBT. You guys know what the TBT is, right?
Yeah.
The basketball tournament.
You're gonna be in TBT?
You
gonna be in TBT?
Yeah. It's like the basketball tournament. Yeah, we got the basketball tournament. So I'm playing with West Virginia, West Virginia alumni team, and they're coming to Wheeling. July 9th through the 11th. We have an exhibition game on Friday, golf scramble on Saturday morning, live show Q&A, meet and greet on Saturday evening, and a basketball camp for the youth on Sunday. So that's kind of like a fundraiser for the team, because, there's expenses with traveling with 15, 16 people. And that's going to be a great weekend for the Ohio Valley. I'm from Moundsville. I'm in Wheeling all the time. And, I feel like I've made so many connections, and going to West Virginia opened up so many doors for me. I'm just trying to kind of bring as much as I can back to the Valley, lighten it up, bring some cool vibes. So that's what I've been doing this summer, and then hopefully next summer do some more. But that's probably the biggest thing I got going on next, is that TBT West Virginia weekend in Wheeling, July 9th through the 11th.
Nice. We're both Andy and I love TBT. We watch any basketball we can find. But can you give us a little sneak peek on the roster for West Virginia this year? Who's running out there?
Yeah. So okay, I don't want to forget no one, but there's they came out with it. I think it's Tariq Phillip, Juwan Staten, Tavon Myers, Jayshon Page,
nice.
Alex Ruoff, John Holton, John Flowers, Kevin Jones. Sagaba, Kanate.
Oh, yeah. Kanate's coming back? Nice.
Yeah, me, Logan. That's 11. I'm missing someone. Maybe not.
That's a good group, though. I mean, you got some
James Long pros. And then James Long's coaching us. And the assistants are like Dave Tallman. He coaches at Morgantown High School. And then Deshaun Butler's our other assistant.
Awesome. Love to see Deshaun still getting involved, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Now we're looking forward to that. We'll be rooting for you on that. So you're going to be kind of the shooter on the squad there. I hear a lot of big men and a couple guards. you kind of got the wing slot.
Yeah, I'll go in there and make a few shots for him. I'll do what I have to do.
That'll be great. Cool. So we got 3 minutes left on here before it cuts us off, and we don't want to cut too far into your day. Do you have anything else you want to touch on before we kind of wrap her up?
I can't think of anything. I think we covered most of my journey.
That was great.
That was great. And I mean, we're excited to see where you end up next. I mean, you're, you know, you're still at the beginning of your pro career. You got a lot of, a lot of life left in those legs for sure.
For sure.
So that'll be cool. But we want to have, I mean, if you're open to it someday, we'd love to have you on. Like, we want to have everybody that we have on, we call this the Sunday story thing. Everyone we have on for this, we want to have in like more casual setting someday. So we have ideas like doing a historical college team drafts, historical NBA team drafts, like in the off season when it's just like, there's not much basketball going on. Do you have a favorite NBA team, or would you rather be like reserve the WVU spot for when we get to them for college drafting?
No, my favorite NBA, I like the Lakers. I've liked the Lakers for a while. I mean, since I was a kid. So I've liked them before Bron showed up, obviously. I don't want to take any more questions about the Lakers right now, though. I don't want to discuss that. We'll talk next year about the Lakers.
That's all right. They'll be fine. Yeah. Bron will figure it out. That's great, though. No, so we can pencil you in for the Lakers thing. It's going to be a bit. Like, we got a bunch of shit lined up and a bunch of guests lined up, and it's going to be more towards the summer. But we can pencil you in for the Lakers thing. I'd rather have a West Virginia guy come in. I'm a Celtics guy, so I'd rather have a West Virginia guy come in as the Lakers fan. Cool, man. Thank
you for coming on, Chase. Really do, man. Thanks a lot. This helps a lot, and I wish you the best, man. And anything we can do to help out, you know, let us know.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Thanks a ton, Chase, man. We really appreciate you taking the time and, you know, chopping it up for a little bit. And hopefully we'll get to know you a little better soon. And if we're in the same city, we'll grab a beer or something and chill out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We'll definitely do this again.
All right. Well, we'll be in touch. We got a t-shirt for you someday. We got to print them still. We're a little low budget at the moment, but we'll send you a t-shirt someday for sure.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chase, man. Best of luck, boss. All right, so that was Chase Harler. Hope you all enjoyed, you know, the stories and insight he had to share. I thought it was really cool hearing, you know, what it was like to be overseas playing when COVID kind of happened, and what kind of impact that had, and what adjustments the international teams made. But yeah, you'll notice we have a new logo. Not positive it's gonna be published on Apple in time for today's pod, but it'll be dropped on the Twitter for sure today. So you guys can you all can check that out. But yeah, let us know what you think. If you like it, you hate it. You know, any suggestions or ideas you got, we're open to it. And yeah, hopefully we'll have some t-shirts printed up soon. We've promised every guest a t-shirt so far, so we got to do that eventually. But yeah, a little budget project here, and we'll be back on Thursday for a little chit chat as usual. But yeah, I hope you all enjoy the rest of your weekend, and hopefully we get a nice little finals game 3 to send us into the work week here. So, all right, have a good one, everybody.